After the Mass today, a Te Deum will be sung with thanksgiving and joy for the fact that you can all assist in person at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The love of God knows no measure and does not tolerate compromises. Otherwise, it is simply not charity. Without charity, it is not possible to remain in Him. Whoever remains in charity remains in God, and God in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. My dear brethren, these are the words of none other than Archbishop Vigano from a letter in which he condemned the Second Vatican Council. So, the love of God does not tolerate compromises. You might also say that the respect due to God does not tolerate compromises. Last week, the bishops of England and Wales announced that communion was henceforth to be received in the hand and standing up until further notice. So, what started as an abuse in the liberal Netherlands in the 1960s after the council was first tolerated, then made the object of a democratic vote of bishops. Then it was permitted as the less perfect option. Then it was promoted as being pastorally preferable. And now it is obligatory. But communion in the hand and standing up is enormously disrespectful to the Blessed Sacrament. Think of the unconsecrated hands and even filthy hands into which our Lord is placed. Think of the number of times that our Lord is dropped on the floor when received in the hand. Think of the inevitable particles of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ that are lost and trampled with every single communion in the hand. Think of the ease with which the sacred host might be stolen for sacrilegious abuse by Satanists. It happens, probably more frequently than you are aware of. Think of the loss of the ritual of reverence and submission, a loss which will erode the faith of the faithful in the real presence. How can this be? How can it be that the guardians of what is most sacred can allow this sacrilege to happen? Until recently, communion in the hand was allowed supposedly for pastoral reasons. Michael Davies of Happy Memory, in his forthrightly titled booklet, Communion in the Hand and Other Similar Frauds, which is available on our website, pours scorn on the idea that communion in the hand is pastorally preferable. And this is a passage from his booklet. He says, "To their everlasting shame, the bishops of such countries as Great Britain, Canada, and the USA have not simply succumbed to blackmail and obtained permission to legalize an abuse which can lead to a profanation of the very body of Christ, but they are now engaged in an all-out campaign to impose it as the norm. This is something no one could possibly deny after reading such official propaganda tracts as The Reception of Holy Communion in the Hand, published by the Catholic Truth Society of England and Wales, or such American offerings as The Body of Christ or Tate and Eat. These publications contain page after page of the most slanted propaganda, which is clearly inspired by the belief that most of the laity have already been conditioned beyond a point where they are capable of independent thought." It's a booklet worth reading. But this most recent rule to ban communion to those who kneel and wish to receive it on the tongue, and making communion in the hand and standing up obligatory. The reasons for this imposition are the hygiene necessary to preserve in this great pandemic under which we labour. Now, let us assume for a moment that the pandemic is as devastating as Her Majesty's government and the media will have us believe, and that extreme precautions are merited for the first time in the history of the Church. It is by no means universally accepted that communion in the hand is more hygienic. It's debatable. We could argue quite strongly that it is less hygienic to receive communion in the hands. We could argue backwards and forwards. We could summon experts in numerous disciplines, virologists, doctors of medicine, liturgists, historians. But the argument that we will have will distract us from what is really happening here. Archbishop Vigano, after saying that charity accepts no compromises, he says, it matters little whether it is a declaration or a magisterial document. He's talking about the status of the documents in the Second Vatican Council. We know well that the subversive men's or mind of the innovators plays games with this sort of quibble in order to spread error. In our case, we could say, it matters little whether the bishop's conference's arguments were good or bad for each thing they imposed. We know well that the subversive mind of the innovators plays games with these sorts of quibbles in order to spread error. Like so many changes since the Second Vatican Council, they've all gone one way, towards, as Archbishop Vigano says, doctrinal, liturgical, moral, and legal deviations. Each change is met with a debate over the pros and the cons, but the innovation happens, and most people miss the big picture. It has all gone the same way. Now, a few weeks ago, my confrère, Father Sebastian Wall, gave a blistering sermon up in Edinburgh. And you can see all his sermons, all the sermons on the internet. You just press the media button on the top menu bar. And you see his handsome countenance, and you'll be able to listen to his sermons. But this was a particularly good sermon. In the sermon, he commented upon the surprise of the Scottish bishops to find that 70% of the faithful no longer believed in the real presence. Why are they surprised? Asked Father Wall. When the hierarchy have done everything they can to destroy the faith of the faithful in the real presence over the last 50 years. The priest, first of all, turns his back on the tabernacle, and then the tabernacle is removed and put in a ghastly wall safe somewhere hidden away. The altar becomes a table, the communion rails are ripped out, and the sanctuary is invaded by the laity, by extraordinary ministers. The liturgy is Protestantized, which is beyond doubt, trivialized, and in many cases, effeminate. The priest is more of a game show host rather than he who participates in the one priesthood of the New Testament, offering the one sacrifice of the New Testament, God offering God to God. The churches were gutted of their devotional and catechetical statues and windows paid for by the gifts of the faithful over many generations and sometimes. Or they were just bulldozed and replaced with carpeted prayer spaces with comfy seats and excellent facilities. And of course, communion was given in the hand and standing up. No doubt each change was the occasion of debate between the reformers and the conservatives. But the changes happened anyway. Few saw the big picture, and little by little, the faithful lost the faith. Lost the faith in the real presence, because all of its supports and manifestations, all the little symbols and signs which lead us to that understanding that the consecrated host is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, they've all been removed. The innovators, the bishops, are spreading error. Compulsory communion in the hand received standing up is just another example. Yes, a debate is always possible, but the men's, the mind of the innovators is clear. If you would just step back and survey the wreckage of our dear Catholic Church. What can we do, my dear brethren? Well, I think it indicates that we have a vocation. We can see in the signs about us that we have a vocation to reparation. We must make reparation for these sacrileges against the real presence. We must live in such a way as to lead people to a belief in the real presence again. First of all, reparation. We have to pray and do sacrifice more than ever before. Our times are such that we, if we are, call ourselves Catholics, our vocation is clear. Prayer and sacrifice, as a minimum family rosary. It's a sine qua non now in the world in which we live. And the respect we should show to the Blessed Sacrament may be manifested in the way, for example, we prepare for church. Coming to Sunday Mass in our Sunday best, covering our heads for the ladies, not wearing sports or casual clothes for the men. We should maintain a silence in the church. This is the house of God. In the Mass of the consecration of a church, there's the wonderful words, terribile est iste locus. Terrible is this place of mystery. Keep silent in the church. The way we prepare and receive and give thanks for the sacrament of Holy Communion. We should give testimony to the real presence by our desire for frequent visits to a church to adore the Blessed Sacrament. And also to look after our churches. I think it's the same across the length and breadth of Christendom and also through the centuries. It's always just a few people who really give themselves to the church. So be more generous in your giving yourself to making this house of God worthy of its occupant, God himself. We also have a vocation shown to us by these times to Catholic action. We must show our faith, wear religious symbols, say the rosary even on public. Don't be embarrassed to carry a rosary. Have you ever seen anybody carrying a rosary in public? Isn't it edifying? Isn't it uplifting? It fills you with joy. And there are many Catholics out there who, if they see you carrying a rosary and say it, their hearts will rejoice. They are not alone. There is somebody else who loves God. In the way we dress, the way we speak, our pastimes, we should be saints in the world. This is our vocation. Parents, give your children a love of the Blessed Sacrament. Catechize your children. It's your primary duty as parents. And then you will not find catechesis in a local Catholic school. You will not find a good, thorough catechesis in many churches. Also, aspire for vocations in your family. I'm talking to all the young parents and the parents-to-be. Your greatest honor and privilege is to have a vocation in your family, something to give to God, your precious gift, the most precious gift you will have. Also, we have a vocation, my dear brethren, more than ever before, pray for the bishops. They are still our bishops. May they see the big picture. May they see what has happened to the church. May they have that grace of seeing the terrible effects of the Second Vatican Council in the church. Pray for Archbishop Vigano, that he may continue upon the path that he has bravely begun. And pray for the Pope, that he may have a love of God that knows no measure and does not tolerate compromises anymore. In the Blessed Virgin Mary, this love of God without compromise was fully realized. She was in God and God was in her. We ask her for the grace that the same may be true for us, true for the Pope, the bishops, the priests, the religious, and all the laity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.